on the men in this chapter today. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any old me's? By the way, make it no mistake that the Bible, the Word of God, is a paternal book. Amen. It's not a maternal book. That means that it goes down through the fathers and not the mothers as far as who should be in charge. And God makes no apologies for that. God is our Father, and He's represented by men. Men sometimes give a bad representation of that, but nonetheless, it does not change the fact that God has chosen to use the fathers as the ones that would perpetuate things and be the leaders in the Bible and the Word of God. And that's the way it should be in the homes, and so we don't apologize for that. Although I know there are many, many homes that are not fathered by godly men, and there are also a lot of single ladies that are doing it themselves. Amen. But it still doesn't take the place of God's plan is to have a man in the home to be the leader in that home. And so on this Father's Day, we recognize good godly leaders. Amen. And recognize as well, not every home has one, but it still is God's desire. And it's my desire today that we might be a little closer to Lord Jesus Christ, a little bit more like our Father in heaven, and learn from the examples in Scripture what to do and some things what not to do. 1 Samuel chapter 25, let's start reading in verse number 1. And now we'll stop down in verse number 3, and we'll pretty much look at several passages here throughout the preaching today. Read with me together. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing the sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of a good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Verses 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 25, we see three characters here, David, Nabal, and Abigail. And also throughout this chapter, they depict three ways to react to situations. And we covered Abigail and her wanting to overcome evil with good on Mother's Day. But we also are left with Nabal and David here in this passage of Scripture, who we did not really look at last month. We can return evil for good. And that's what Nabal did when he refused to share with David his just due. David here was almost in the predicament where he was going to return evil for evil. And by the way, in today's society, it is so easy to do evil for evil. Amen. You just look back here just this past week with the mass shootings that happened in South Carolina. It's so easy to retaliate. It's so easy to say tit for tat. Amen. But that's not God's way, nor is that God's design. Amen. Are the people hurting? Yes, they are. But doing evil for evil is not going to help that hurt at all. Amen. David here was going to return evil for evil. He had planned to do that before he was stopped, and it is a natural thing to do because most of the world lives that way, and our hurt feelings cry out for revenge just like South Carolinians do right now. They want revenge. Some want justice, amen, but you know what? God wants righteousness, amen. And so David was almost tempted to do this, and he was on the verge of doing that. And yet he had shown mercy to Saul all this time. What happened in David's life to cause him to snap like that? Well, you know, we're going to see some things this morning in regards to that. I'm so glad that David was a man after God's own heart. And so instead of snapping, he got spiritual because he listened to some godly advice. Amen. Today, men, we might want to listen to some godly advice from our wives, maybe to our mothers or maybe a friend or family member, and just get more like Jesus in situations and circumstances because God has the counsel and the Word of God. If you're here today and you're not saved, whether you're a father or not, you need to be born again. Amen. That is going to make the biggest difference in your life. To be a man of God, you've got to be saved of God and possess God's Holy Spirit. So if you're not born again today, the first thing you need to do is not look at David, not look at Nabal, nor look at Abigail, but look to Jesus. Why? He is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he will save you from that destiny called hell when you call on him and ask him to save you. Amen. So I encourage you today, if you've not done that today, do so. If you've done that, then live the way God would have you to, according to what we read today in the Word of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you once again for Abigail and what we saw in her life last month, and Lord, what a godly influence she was, and Lord, how she stood in the gap for Nabal when Nabal was not the spiritual man that he needed to be, nor was he a godly leader. We know he was prosperous, financially speaking. He possessed sheep and things of that nature, but Lord, he did not possess a spiritual walk with God. We thank you that she was able to go in and intervene in the life of Nabal. But we'd also thank you that she intervened for the life of David. David was on the verge of making a mistake. He was going to do evil for evil. And Lord, and I do pray that today as we look at this scripture, maybe perhaps we're on the verge of returning evil for good. Maybe we're on the verge of returning evil for evil. But I pray, Lord, that we would be like Abigail and return good for evil. Not all men will treat us right. Not all people will do us right. Not all people are going to treat us in the way that we think we ought to be treated. But I'm so glad we've got a God in heaven who's righteous, who's fair, who is sovereign, and who knows the end of the day. Lord, help us to maintain our stand in Christ. Help us to maintain the position in Christ that we need to maintain. Lord, help us to be an example of the believers, Lord, in that which we do. And I do pray that as fathers here today, Lord, that we would gird up our loins and stand in a day and age when it's so difficult to stand as a man. And we'd hold the word of God high in our lives when it's so difficult it seems to hold high. And Lord, we would lead our families and not drive our families. We'd love our families, Lord, and not leave our families. And we would do right by you, Lord, and have the light of Jesus Christ in our path today. And Lord, I pray if there's one amongst us that's not born again, they're not saved, they were to die today, they are not sure that heaven would be their home. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to call on Jesus and be saved, because we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to be saved, Lord, and sanctified and sold out to doing the business of God today, that your will may be done. Help us now, Lord, this Father's Day, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's got her special this morning.
Found a resting place.
God will always see us through. Amen. Always has, always will. He's always on time. He's never late. He's always punctual. Amen. Just when you need him to carry you through. Amen. He shows up and he does that. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson, for that message and song. Amen. I do trust today that you look at the Word of God. We only got one service. Amen. So wrap your arms around this one. Amen. Make good usage of it and listen well. Get recovered and get recuperated. Amen. We'll be right back in the mix of things tomorrow. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter 25, I'm going to look at the topic called the measure of a man. The measure of a man. By the way, the measure of a man is not in what he possesses or his position or anything of a place, but it's more in his position with God and his prominence with God. How special is this man to God? Amen. So you look at the measure of a man, it's not in his possessions or his prosperity, but always in his position with God. We're going to look at 2 points here, basically the measure involved and then the measure investigated. Those two basic points this morning as we look at Nabal and David. At the outset, just from reading verse number 3, you don't want to be Nabal. Amen. What you know about David, you probably wouldn't mind wanting to be David, but what you see in this chapter will maybe give you second thoughts. Amen. And I would say, you know, you don't want to be David or you don't want to be Nabal. You just want to be a man of God. Amen. Or a person of God and do what God has called you to do. Amen. So we talked about in the introduction, there's 3 ways to react to situations here based upon Nabal and David and Abigail. We've already covered Abigail. So we'll look at these two men. Let's look at, first of all, the measure involved. The measure involved. One definition of measure in Webster's Dictionary means an estimate of what is to be expected as of a person or situation. Read that for you again. An estimate of what is to be expected as of a person or situation. Measure. The measure involved. In other words, what's making up David? What's making up Nabal? The measure involved. I want us to notice the measure of David, first of all. Notice in verse 1, Samuel died and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Think for a moment, if you would, with me. Samuel is probably about the only thing, the only one that kept David alive. The difference between life and death depended upon Saul being 2-3 steps behind David, and David knowing that this man, Samuel the prophet, would be a go-between or a stead. So in other words, if it got to the point where things got bad, he could trust that Samuel could intercede for him. Samuel now has died. And can't you almost think that David is saying, all hope is left, lost. I got to get out of Dodge. If Saul finds me, he's going to kill me. I got to run. I got to go somewhere. And so David runs away out of the area, out of the vicinity where Saul is at. And so he's going down into the wilderness of Paran here and hoping that he could maybe hide out a little bit until at least things pass over a little bit. And so he knows that something is going on with Saul. The measure of David. David's on the run from Saul here, chapter 24, and hides in the wilderness of Paran. While there, he protects the shepherds of Nabal from danger and strangers. And that's where chapter 25 unfolds, with him having been in this area. And David's name means loving, lover, beloved, or friend. I'd like to have a name like that. A loving, lover, beloved, or friend. And so we already know that David is a man after God's own heart. He already told Samuel, God told Samuel, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. Amen. David is that man. David's been anointed the future king. The only problem with that, there is a current king. And that current king is chasing after David. And that's why David finds himself down here in Paran. And he's down in this area keeping the sheep of one Nabal. So the measure of David, he's a loving, lover, beloved, or friend. But notice the measure of Nabal. Verse number 2 gives you a little bit of his possessions and his prosperity. It says there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. So he had possessions. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. So he's got a whole lot of worldly goods here. He's got possessions. He's got some prosperity. He's got position. The one thing he doesn't have is a position with God. Amen. Notice what it says down there in verse number 3. Now, the name of the man was Nabal. We covered a bit of this last year. The measure of Nabal. His name means foolish, stupid, wicked, vile. Vile person, or I gave you this word last month, dolt, D-O-L-T, which means a dullard or blockhead. So now you know where Charlie Brown gets it from, amen. And so this man is not like David. This man is different from David. This man is not a man after God's own heart. This man is foolish, stupid, wicked, vile. He's a dolt, he's a dullard, he's a blockhead. Total opposite of what David was. The Bible says he was also churlish. Notice down there towards the end of that, as it talks about his beautiful wife, Abigail, it says, but the man was churlish. He was churlish. That means he was cruel. He was hard-hearted. He was grievous, impudent, obstinate, rough, stiff-necked, and stubborn. Yeah. Ladies, how would you like to be married to a man like that? My soul. That's why Sharon said, I'm not getting married. Amen. Men like that, who needs them? I can be better off single. I don't need that. Churlish, cruel, hard-hearted, grievous, impudent, obstinate, rough, stiff-necked, stubborn. I don't like that, and I'm a man. If we're honest, at times, men, we can live up to being Nabal. Sometimes we can be like that. I'm just glad we don't stay like that. Amen, men? Okay, I got two. The rest of y'all must be staying like that. Amen. I'm not going to stay like that, although I can admit I've been that way sometimes. I've been stiff-necked. I've been hard-hearted. I've been cruel sometimes. I've been grievous. I've been impudent. I've been obstinate. I've been rough. Amen. My wife has told me, and she loves me still. Amen. Hey, he was churlish, but he was evil in his doings, the Bible says as well, and evil in his doings. He didn't do right in the sight of God. He didn't do right, period. Amen. Do you know there are a lot of men like Nabal who, although they're obstinate, although they're stiff-necked, although they're hard-hearted, they're very prosperous people. They have a lot of possessions. They have a lot of position in the world. They are vice presidents. They are presidents. They are executives. They are leaders. And they are very prosperous, but they're a zero with God. And they're a zero with their family. Hence, that's Nabal. Nabal's not the most popular of men, but guess what? He's rich. Hey, in the novel, Scrooge was rich too. Amen. Look how many friends he had. So he was foolish, he was fiendish, and he was famished, spiritually speaking. And we can all be this way at times, men, if we're honest. Amen. Titus 3:3 says we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. And it goes on to say some other things. So We see the measure involved here, the measure of David. David's on the run. He's a man after God's own heart. He's beloved. He's a lover. He's a friend, and he's loving. Amen. The measure of Nabal, he's foolish. He's stupid. He's wicked. He's adult. He's a dullard. He's a blockhead. He's churlish. He's evil. He's cruel. He's all those things. So we see the measure involved, the measure of David, the measure of Nabal. But now notice the measure investigated. When you go beyond the surface and begin to check out the man, we know his character. We know what they're capable of doing. But now, what do they do? By the way, you can be known for a whole lot of things. But what do you really do? Amen. Hey, we see the titles. We see the descriptions. We see what the Bible says they're made of. But when you're made of something and you do that something that you're made of, guess what? There's a problem. If it's bad. The measure investigated. Down in verses 4 through 12, we're going to find out what's in the lives of these two men here a little bit. And you'll find out that David finds out that Nabal has come to shear his sheep in the area. He sends his men out to get some compensation for protecting Nabal's shepherds. David has this idea. Hey, you know what? I'm an opportunist. Amen. I'm down here in this area. I've got about 600 men. Here are Nabal's men. Nabal's a man of great possessions and prosperity. Hey, we'll just go ahead and guard his men while we're here. We're here anyway, amen. And when his man, who's so prosperous and he's got all these possessions, he'll just come down and he'll take care of us, amen. That's what they do. He's going to be gravely mistaken. Out of the good character and the kindness of David's heart, David says, you know, we'll protect him. We'll watch over him. And guess what? His master will reward us, amen. Noble thoughts, but you're not dealing with a noble person. And so that's the scene here. Coming up in verses 4 through 12, David's trying to get some compensation because he heard that Nabal's men were in the area, and he's in the area, and so he's going to try to get compensated. Amen. However, Nabal refuses to give David any compensation at all. You ever been there? You, out of the kindness of your heart, you did something good for your boss, or you did something good at your job, and you went a little extra mile, amen. You did a little bit more than what was asked of you, and you asked for a little bit of time off, and your boss told you to get lost. Told you to drop dead. Your boss said, I didn't tell you to go that extra mile. I didn't tell you to do that extra stuff. I wish I would reward you. Yeah. You say, well, I thought. That's your problem. You thought. Is that in your job description? Did I ask you to do that? Did I promise you anything? That's pretty much where David finds himself. Out of the kindness of his heart, he protects Nabal. Nabal's shepherds there, make sure there's no harm to them. There, the Bible says nothing about a written agreement. It says nothing about a written contract. Out of the kindness of his heart, he's going to do that. Why? I'm in the area already. Let me just do something. Hey, I'm a lover. I'm called a friend. That's what my name means. I want to help people. So let me help. David just says, you know what? You're prosperous. You got a lot of possessions. Can you just give us a little bit of what's coming to your table? And that's not an unreasonable request. Especially when you have plenty. Nabal refuses to give any compensation. Notice the investigation of Nabal reveals that, number one, he was unspiritual. Verse 3 says he was churlish. He was evil in his doings. He was unspiritual. He had none of the character that David had. And sometimes, men, and you're going to be involved with some men that are unspiritual. They're not going to do things the way you do things. At your job, they're going to be unspiritual. They may be like Nabal. They may be hard-headed. They may be blockheads. They may be all kind of wickedness going on in their own hearts. And you, out of the kindness of your heart, like David, and you're going to try to do that which is right, but he's going to be churlish, your boss may be. Or they may be evil in their doings. They may be a fool in what they do. And sometimes you're going to work with people that are unspiritual. May I dare say, probably most times you're going to work with people that are unspiritual. How do you conduct yourself with that person? Nabal was unspiritual. Also, he was unthankful. Notice verse number 10. Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water? Notice the emphasis on I and my. And my flesh that I have killed from my shears and given unto men whom I know not whence they be. Wait a minute. David can come back and say, and I protected your sheep and your shepherds so that you have a flock still left. Come down to the end of verse number 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was amiss of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me, notice this, evil for good. David said, hey, I did all this for nothing. Hey, may I submit to you men that sometimes you're going to do right, you're going to do that which you should do, you're going to do it for the right reasons, and you're going to get nothing back in return. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have unspiritual people that are unthankful, and the harder you work, the less they're going to appreciate it. The more you go out on a limb, the less they'll do for you. The more you go the extra mile, the more it seems like the mileage they take away from you. And you're going to be very prone to say what David said. I've done all this, and he's just going to give me evil. What's the use? I might as well give up. I might as well pack her up and go home. I might as well quit. Hey, I don't need this foolishness. I don't need this from anybody. I don't need this from the world. I don't need this from these friends over here. I don't need this over here. Basically, that's what David said. I don't need that. Amen. Hey, how are you going to handle it when someone is ain't thankful to you? When they're unspiritual towards you? David said, I did all this and they required me evil for good. What's the use? Well, it was Nabal, unspiritual and unthankful. By the way, in the end of this verse, verse 21, he said that he has done evil. He requited me evil for good. The enemy Philistines gave David more respect than Nabal did, who's a descendant of Caleb. The Philistines said David slain his 10,000. Isn't this the one they said David slain his 10,000? The Philistines held David in high regard, although he was their enemy. You don't find them speaking bad about him. They said, look, David killed his 10,000. Hey, that's that great man. That's that mighty man. Here Nabal says, you know what? I don't care who you are. Who is this David? Who is this David? He's unspiritual. He's unthankful. He's unkind. Notice verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Railed on them means he flew upon him with words. In other words, you and I would say he went off. He went off. He didn't have anything good to say about David. He went off on a tyrant, tirade about David, talked about David. You ever had people talk about you, slander your name, say all sorts of things about you, amen? He went off on David, basically. Even though David wasn't there, he went off on David to David's men. So he was unkind, he was unthankful, he was unspiritual. This type of man that, as we investigate, is he that he is. But not only that, he was unapproachable. Notice verse 17. Now therefore, no one consider what thou wilt do. This is the servants of Abigail speaking. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial. But a man cannot speak unto him. He was unapproachable. They said, a man can't even speak to him. Men and fathers, we don't want to be this way. For God's sake, for your family's sake, for your job's sake, and for your sake, you don't want to be this way. Amen. Hey, say, preacher, what way don't you want? Never let it be said that people couldn't talk to you. Never let it be said that your wife couldn't talk to you. Never let it be said that your children thought they couldn't talk to you. You were unapproachable. Now, sometimes my children get that way. We don't want to talk to Dad because we know what he's going to say. Well, if you know what I'm going to say, amen. But they know they can approach me about things that they can talk about. But can we have more candy? We don't want to talk to Dad. We can't speak to him about no candy. Well, no, because you already had, you know, 2 tons. So, you know, a ton and an ounce is not good for you. We want another toy. We can ask Dad about this toy. No, because you already have a house full of toys, and so no, you're not getting another toy. But on things that matter, never let it be said that nobody couldn't speak to us, that we were unapproachable. The rap against Nabal was that he was unapproachable. We can't even speak to him. His servants said that. Hey, by the way, his wife said that. You say, did she say that? In action, she did. Because when she knew that this was going on, she didn't tell him a word. After she did it, she didn't tell him a word until he sobered up. So in other words, his wife even said, you know what, you're right, he is unapproachable. Go back up to verse number 19. after she had got all the things together for David's men, verse 19, she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. Notice this. But she told not her husband, Nabal. Say, preacher, why didn't she tell him? Because she couldn't talk to him. He was unapproachable. He was a stiff-necked, bonehead, blockhead, grievous, obstinate, impudent, rough man who's not going to listen to reason. And men, let me tell you something. Fathers, don't be that way. Don't be unapproachable where your wife's got to make decisions and she's afraid to tell you the decisions she's made for fear of what you may say.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. Say, well, she's not going to like it. She's not going to always like every decision, but you should still be able to talk about it. What am I saying here? Nabal, the investigation reveals that he's unspiritual, he's unthankful, he's unkind, he's unreasonable. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like to work with that man.
Amen.
I wouldn't like to work for that man. And perish the thought, ladies, I wouldn't like to be married to that man.
No,
say, preacher, oh, you're preaching to the choir. I am married to that man. Oh, we need to pray for you then. But that's not a good man to be. That is the exact opposite of what David was and who David is. And David was just the opposite. Notice the investigation of David reveals some things here. First thing I want us to notice about David that you may not pick up on, David may have had misplaced aggression. David may have had misplaced aggression. Now, we know Nabal was unspiritual, unthankful, unkind, unapproachable, but David may have had misplaced aggression. Notice verse number 12 with me again. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings, basically what Nabal had said, how he wasn't going to give him anything. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. Now, trust me, they're not going fencing. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. David is not going sparring or with the sword either. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 bold by the stuff. So David's got a total of about 600 men. He takes 400 with him, and he's going to battle. Up to now, David has been on the run from Saul and behaving himself spiritually. He's behaving himself sensitively. He's behaving himself saintly. He's been soft-spoken and his dealings against injustice as King Saul unfairly chased him. But something happened and David lost it. I tell you something, man, sometimes you can do all the right things. You can be saintly, you can be sincere, you can be sensitive to God's spirit, and you can be soft-spoken, and all of a sudden, something happens, and you just snap. And you just lose it. David here is in that predicament. Now he wants to go down and kill Nabal. Now let me show you the irony of that. Go back to chapter 24 in verse number 6. Matter of fact, verse 4, the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. This is his enemy, they said. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Cutting off Saul's skirt, I think I mentioned it before, is the identical thing to cutting Saul himself. Verse 6, and he said unto his men, notice this, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words. What am I saying? I'm saying he had a chance to kill King Saul, the man who was chasing after him to kill him. And he just cut off a little bit of his robe. His heart smote him. His men said, David, what are you waiting for? He said, I can't do this thing. That's the Lord's anointed. I dare not lay my hands on him.
Amen.
We go over one chapter. Nabal's men won't give him a sandwich, and he's ready to wipe them all out. What am I saying? Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can have misplaced aggression. The person that we're really mad or upset at, we can't touch them.
Amen.
Oh, but I can touch you. Remember over in Belgium, Brother Givens and Brother Reddick were joking. And they were talking about suing somebody. And he said, you know what, brother? I can't sue another Christian, but I can sue you. Some of y'all will get that in a minute.
Amen.
He's basically saying you're not a Christian. Sometimes we want to try to get somebody to say, I can't touch this one, but I can touch you. I can touch you. Do you think possibly he's got some misplaced aggression here?
He's on the run from Saul repeatedly. And I'm just trying to do right. I come over here and I'm doing right again. And I just want to get compensated. And that's the straw that broke the camel's back. You have just crossed the line. That's it. Hey, I may not be able to kill Saul, but I can kill you. You're not the Lord's anointed. I'll wipe you and your whole family out. Man, we got to be careful. Sometimes we can have misplaced aggression. We can be at the job all day and nobody gives us respect at the job. Nobody gives us respect from our coworkers, our peers, our boss. They're all on us. We go to the supermarket. Nobody gives us respect. We walk into our doors and somebody says, hi, Daddy. That's it. That's the last straw. And you go off. Misplaced aggression. We can be so patient with everybody else except our own. What am I saying? I believe David might have had a case of misplaced aggression. You know what he's saying? In other words, I can't go off my boss. He may fire me. I can't go off on these people in the supermarket. I might not get served. I can't go off on my friends. They may talk about my reputation and my character. But you know what? I can come home. Mama, I can talk about you. I can talk about you kids. Amen. I can talk about y'all. Because I know y'all going to still be here. That's misplaced aggression. You need to get that right with God. That is not right, nor is it fair. It's not fair. Probably David may have had some misplaced aggression. I think he looked around at all of what Saul had done to him, and he knew Saul was the Lord's anointed, but he looked at Nabal and he said, Nabal, you are not the Lord's anointed. I can touch you. I can kill you. Amen. And we've got to be careful, men, of having misplaced aggression in our lives. We're mad at somebody else, and we take it out on our families. And I believe David might have had a case of misplaced aggression here. Because all before here, he's spiritually behaving himself. He's sensitively behaving himself. He's saintly behaving himself. He's soft-spoken in his dealings with injustice. He tells his men, oh, no, we can't do this. That's the Lord's anointed. We can't touch him. But now you come over here, gird your swords on, man. I got mine, too. Let's go down here. Let's do business.
Amen.
Let's do business. What am I saying? David may have had some misplaced aggression. He just let Saul go one chapter ago. And now I can't touch King Saul, but I can sure touch you. He had lost it. I believe he got fed up. By the way, it happens to good men. We're not always the perfect spiritual men that we ought to be. And sometimes we do lose it. And sometimes we have misplaced aggression. You know what we got to do? Recognize it, realize it, and repent of it. And get it right on those whom we misplaced our aggression on. And confess and say, you know what? I shouldn't have taken that on you. I shouldn't have said that to you. I shouldn't have done it. But sometimes our pride and our ego get so big. Well, that's just my wife. That's just my kids. I ain't going to have to say nothing. You better say something.
Amen.
If you want to save face and save relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
So what am I saying here? David may have had misplaced aggression. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. What does that mean? I look at what it is before I get angry at it. Now, by the way, you get angry at sin all day. Just don't get angry at the sinner. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Did Nabal transgress? Yes, he did. The Bible says it's a glory to pass over it. Sometimes even godly men can have misplaced aggression. David should have been praying, and lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Amen. Over there in Matthew 6 and verse 13. Romans 12:17 says it this way. Recompense to no man evil for evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Preach your acts in a tall order, not for the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In the flesh, it's a very tall order. Matter of fact, in the flesh, it's an impossible order.
Yes, sir, it is.
But in the Spirit's power, it is a very, very reasonable offer. Why? Because the Spirit of God can do it through you. I'm not going to bless them that curse me, persecute me. I'm not going to pray for them that despitefully use me. Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, be ye perfect as your Father also in heaven is perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. What am I saying? David had some misplaced aggression here, I believe. After being on the run for so long from Saul, Nabal just refuses to give him some food, and he's about to wipe him out. We can put up with the boss, an evil coworker, and evil customers all day, but come home in the slightest infraction and misplaced aggression. What's the rationale? Like David, I can't touch them, but I can touch you. I can't go off on them, but I can go off on you. I might lose my job, but I won't lose being a daddy. Hey, but you'll lose some points as far as leadership. You'll lose some points as far as your compassion is concerned. You'll lose some points in the face of your family, in the face of your children, as far as being a godly man who will repent of his wrongdoings when he's misplaced his aggression. And by the way, hitting something is not the same either. Well, I'll just kick the cat, or I'll kick the chair over. It's still misplaced aggression. What'd the chair do to you? What'd the cat do to you? Just handle aggression the way it should be, by the Spirit's power. The cat didn't do anything to you. The dog didn't do anything. The chair didn't do it. Your folks punched the wall and punch a hole in the wall. Now you got to fix the wall. What the wall got to do with it? Now you got a big knuckles that's all bloody and whatnot. So you got to fix the wall on top of that. Now you got misplaced time. Misplaced aggression. What am I saying? David may have had misplaced aggression. There's something else that David may have had. David may have had wrongful aggravation. Notice down in verse 21. David may have had misplaced aggression, but also wrongful aggravation. 21, it says, and now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. Notice what he says, this wrongful aggression. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave off all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. You know what he's saying? I'm going to kill not just Nabal, but every male that he has in his house. I'm not leaving him anybody to family his name on and father his name on. I'm going to kill all of them. They're all done. What is that? Wrongful aggravation. He's already misplaced his aggression towards Nabal. He's going to kill him when he's angry at Saul. Now he says, not only Nabal, you, but I'm going to get everybody else. And by the way, the Bible is clear in the Old Testament. David should know that you don't kill the sons for the father. But David said, I'm going to kill them all. He's got wrongful aggravation here. And David's ready to wipe out not only Nabal, but every male in the family household. All of them. Notice verse number 17. Verse 17, he says this. And now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, that's Nabal, and against how many? All his household. The servant said, look, it's not just Nabal. David's after all of them. What am I saying? Wrongful aggravation. When we have wrongful aggravation, it's easy to lose focus of the real issue and harm innocent people just because they are associated to the perpetrator. What am I saying? Not only do you get angry at that person, but everybody associated with them. Men, let me tell you something now. Sometimes you can come into the house of God and you can have a problem with somebody in the house of God and you'll avoid that wife and you'll avoid those children. That ain't right. That ain't right. Well, I got a problem with Miss So-and-so over here, and so I'm going to avoid her husband. I'm going to avoid the children. Or ladies, you're just as bad. Well, I got a problem with sister so-and-so, so you better not go talk to those kids. You better not talk to that. That's wrongful aggravation. Don't you hold them responsible. Don't you hold them guilty. Well, I'll treat their children bad because I'm mad with them. Wrongful aggravation, misplaced aggression. It happens all the time. I'm mad at them, but I can't touch them, but I can sure touch your little ones. I can sure treat them bad. I can sure slap them around. I can sure treat them unfair. I can sure put them in a bad situation. I can sure talk down to them. I can sure avoid them. Hey, I can't do it to you. But I can sure do it to yours. You better watch it. Man, don't you come in the house of God being prejudiced. Just because your wife's got an issue with somebody else, you better get that right. You better tell your wife to get it right. Wives, don't you do it either. You get it right. You tell your husband to get it right. Say, look, we're not going to go in the house of God and have some misplaced aggression and have some wrongful aggravation and take it out on the children and take it out on the parents when they've got nothing to do with it. Hey, you got a problem with your boss? Deal with your boss. You got a problem with your coworkers? Deal with your coworkers. But don't bring it in the house of God. Don't take it home. Don't take it to your wife. Don't take it to your husband. Don't take it to your children. Don't bring it in the house of God either. Deal with it. Deal with it. David's got some misplaced aggression. Now he's got wrongful aggravation. He's going to kill them all. And men, sometimes We can avoid other ladies or other children because their wife has an issue with our wives. That's not right. You treat someone's children bad because you're upset with their dad or their mom. Misplaced aggression, wrongful aggravation. That's wrongful aggravation. That's misplaced aggression. It's easy to happen when we lose our focus on who's in charge here, and that's God. We lose our focus on the Son of God. We lose our focus on, why am I here? I'm here for Jesus and Jesus Christ only. I'm here for Jehovah God. He's who I do things for. David should have understood, hey, look, I'm a man after God's own heart. I don't do these type of things. If I didn't do it to Saul all this time, if I didn't do it to any of my other men, why am I going to do it now? Because David lost his focus. David lost his focus. Just one chapter before, he had his focus. Now all of a sudden, David's lost his focus. And David's about to do the unthinkable and kill not just Nabal, but everybody associated with Nabal. But I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. Abigail steps in here, and Abigail begins to talk reason to David, to avoid David from doing the unthinkable, from doing the foolish, to doing that which he knows he shouldn't do, to get this misplaced aggression and this wrongful aggravation, to put it in his perspective. And she begins to counsel with him and let him know, hey, look, if you do this, it's going to rain on you later on. If you do this, you're going to be sorry you ever did it. If you do this, you're going to go into your kingdom with a bunch of blood on your hand. If you do this, you're no better than Nabal. If you do this, you're going to suffer later on. But if you don't, Nabal is who he is. He's a fool. God will deal with Nabal. If you don't, you can go to the kingdom and sit on that throne without a bad conscience. If you don't do this, you can go forward. Now, I've got your men covered. I'm feeding your men. I've got that all taken care of. I've got some bread. I got exactly what you wanted, David. I got all the food. Look at it. It's all right there. Everything. So what more do you need to take revenge for? I've got it taken care of. And as a result of that godly woman, not only did David have misplaced aggression and wrongful aggravation, godly men may have their faults like David, but normally are reasonable to cooperation. Notice verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. David said, you know what? I praise God for you. I can see clearly now. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. David said, yo, praise God for you, sister. Praise God you did right. Praise God this wrongful aggravation. Praise God this misplaced aggression. I could have gotten myself in deep trouble. Praise God for you. But you know what? David had to be just the opposite of Nabal. He couldn't be hard-hearted. He couldn't have been obstinate. He couldn't be stiff-necked. He couldn't be stupid. He couldn't have been all those things that Nabal was. He couldn't be that person that couldn't be spoken to like Nabal would. He had to be open. He was reasonable to cooperation. Notice verse 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. He said, I'm going to kill them all. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I've hearkened to thy voice and accepted thy person. What am I saying? David was a man that had faults, but he was normally reasonable to cooperation. James 1:19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly, and that's what David was about to do. David, in his rage and his anger, he still could be reasoned with. He was not unreasonable. He was not unapproachable. He was not uncooperative like Nabal. He listened to reason of Abigail, and Abigail, as a result, talked some sense into him. And as a result, he was reliable to stop the provocation. In verse 35, he said, you know what? I received of your hand that which you did. I've hearkened to the voice, to thy voice at the end, and I've accepted thy person. David was reasonable to cooperation, but he was also reliable to stop the provocation. Sometimes we can get so provoked that we become unreasonable, out of control, but not David. David, you say, you know what? I'm still a man after God's own heart. Yeah, I wasn't thinking straight. I lost my focus here. I got so upset. Man, I thought about all the good that I did. I thought about Saul chasing me. And then I just got this one last thing. I just got on my nerves. But thank you, Abigail. You brought me back to reason. You brought me back to my senses. Oh, God. Thank God for people like that in our lives that see where you're at and can talk some reason to you. But you know what? You got to be reasonable. No, you got to be cooperative. So we can talk to you blue in the face, but unless you're reasonable in the heart and cooperative in the spirit, guess what? Can't talk to you. You're like Nabal. Hey, men, you get that way. Ladies, you get that way. We all get that way. David here says, you know what? I can stop this thing because now I understand. David had to be open to reason to stop to the point of cooperation. He had to be reliable to stop the provocation that he had planned to do. Notice verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, because he did, verse 38, it says, and it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. She finally told him what David was planning to do and what David was plotting to do. She told him that, you know what? I stopped it because I went ahead and I fed David and his men. And so David turned away from you. He's not going to kill you, Nabal, like he had planned on doing. When Nabal heard that, Nabal had a heart attack, basically. He turned stiff. He had turned stiff. He turned so stiff and became as a stone. The Bible says he died 10 days later. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord. Notice this. That had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. He said, God, you intervened. I was going to do some foolish stuff. I had some wrongful aggravation. I had some misplaced aggression. But God, you stepped in. And you caused my reproach at the hand of Nabal to be turned back. And have kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. He said, God, I didn't have to do it. You did it. You know, God's still fighting battles today. You know, God still wants to fight your battle today, man. You know, God doesn't want us as fathers to handle things like David did initially with misplaced aggression and wrongful aggravation. God doesn't want us to handle those things that way, man. He doesn't want us to take it out on our families. He wants us to go to our boss and talk to our boss and talk to the coworkers, talk to the subordinates, use the God-given authority system that he's got in place. But guess what? At the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, don't bring it home to your family. Don't come home and go off on them. Don't rail on them because it's not their fault. Well, if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't have to go out and work like a slave. Well, you had them. You chose them. So don't complain about them. I was so convicted that at the leadership conference, we had left early to get there early. And we pulled in front of a train. And the train wasn't even on our side. It was on the other side. But somehow, that train controlled our lights. Now, we were turning left. We weren't even going across the track. We were going this way. And the train went across and light stayed and it went back. And it did that for about 15 minutes. Everybody else went. This traffic went that way. This traffic went that way. This traffic went this way. Our traffic went no place. And after 15 minutes, I was trying to be spiritual. I'm going to try and be like David and be saintly, be spiritual, be soft-spoken. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, tick, tock. Sharon was holding our seats. Tick, tock, tick, tock. If you don't get your seat, they'll take it. Tick, tock, tick, tock. And I didn't complain. But I didn't give thanks either. I said, this train, I said, amen, praise God. We're going to be late. You know? And I just kind of grumbled under my voice. You know, we're going to be late, blah, 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 blah. As soon as we got to the auditorium and sat down, Dr. Gibbs got up and started preaching. He talked about what Christians ought to be. He said, some commands you ought to obey. First one, he said, in everything, give thanks for the will of God. I sunk in my seat. Lord, I was trying to find something to be thankful about that train, but I couldn't think of anything to be thankful of other than Sharon had our seats. Be thankful about that. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about how unfair it was that all the other traffic went, and we had to sit there in the car, walk in late, one of the only black bald-head men walking down in front. Everybody going to say, who is that? Got to walk down in front of everybody. Everybody going to look at him. He's 15 minutes late. What church is that? Try to hide your badge so nobody knows where church you come from. What am I saying? I was glad that I got rebuked by the preaching of the Word of God. Because in everything, I do give thanks. Because I remember that as I wasn't giving thanks, neither was G2 giving thanks. Amen. And when G2 didn't give thanks, Joshua didn't give thanks.
Oh boy.
And when Joshua didn't give thanks, Faith didn't give thanks.
Oh boy.
And before long, all three of them sounded like me. And I didn't like hearing me.
Oh man.
And then when the preaching started, he said, aha, it's Father's Day. Look what example you are before your children and everything give thanks. And I thought, if I could just hide. But I'm so glad that I had a heart like David and I was reasonable to cooperation. I said, Holy Spirit, you're right. I should have given thanks for that. I'm wrong. I should never done it. David was reasonable cooperation, although he knew that this situation had angered him, but he still made sure that he did the right thing. And he praised God for Abigail for sitting in the right place. And in the end, Nabal was dealt with by God. And God turned and returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head, and he had to do anything. Now, I still didn't understand what happened to that train. And we still didn't get the green light. Say, preacher, you ran the red light. No, I didn't. They gave you the red flashing light, just enough for one car to go through. And so finally, my one car went through. And I thought, Lord, why today? Why this morning? Why before I go in to hear some preaching? I got to be in the flesh. He says, so you can have some control. Control of the Holy Spirit. David here needed to have some control of the Holy Spirit. Was this characteristic of David? No, it's very uncharacteristic of David. Very uncharacteristic. He was always soft-spoken, always saintly, always spiritual, always doing the right thing. To the end that the very man trying to kill him, he's handling him right, but then he comes over here and one thing goes wrong. I don't get a meal and I go off. How often does it happen to us? Everything seems to go right or everything seems to go wrong. This is just the straw that broke the camel's back. And we lose it. And we have misplaced aggression. Wrongful aggravation. But I'm so glad that David had some reasonable cooperation. He listened to reason. And he was reliable to stop the provocation. As a result, when it was all said and done, he got right. Godly men like David are not perfect. They have their faults. But one thing they do have is they have a repentant heart. When David sinned with Bathsheba, guess what? He still had a repentant heart. It didn't happen right away, but eventually he repented of that sin. He said, against thee only have I done this sin, Lord. And he got right with God. And godly men, we aren't perfect. We have our faults, but when we know we're wrong, we can be spoken to, and we want to repent, and we want to get right with God. We want to admit that we're wrong. And when it's all said and done, the measure of a man is seen as his ability to recognize when he's wrong, listen to godly reason, repent, and get right with God. That's the measure of a man like David. Was David perfect? Not by any stretch of the imagination. But David was quick to admit his sins. David was quick to admit his faults. You don't find David getting in a predicament like this over a sandwich again. He learned his lesson. I wonder, men, do we learn our lessons when someone rebukes us? We ought to. But you know, if you don't, God always sends another rebuker to you. Because he wants us to be reasonable to cooperation and reliable to stop provocation if we're angry. He wants us to be in that position where he can deal with us. And that's what you see in David. You see a man that's reasonable and not a man that's unreasonable like Nabal. My question this morning, men, is what do people see in us today as men? Do they see misplaced aggression? Do they see wrongful aggravation? What do our families see as fathers? So we go out to the world, the corporate world out there, and smile all we want to and be buddy-buddy and be a good leader and be a great worker and a great co-worker or a great subordinate. We can be a great peer. We can be all of that, but then we come home and be misplaced aggression. Wrongful aggravation. And come home and do things that we know aren't right. Be man enough to repent of it. Recognize and ask God to forgive you. Ladies, be woman enough to come home and repent of it. You know, you maybe come home and take it off on your husband. Well, because of you, I got to work a second job and a third job and a fourth job. And if you were just a man, take it out on the kids, maybe. You know, David shows us a good example of what we ought to do when those things happen. Let's repent of the Nabal that's in us and do right when we know we're doing wrong, like David. Let somebody show you where you're wrong by the Spirit of God and by the power of God and the Word of God. David was reasonable to deal with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. God showed me, and that's Scripture. He said, you know what, preacher? You've been guilty of that. And you need to get it right. Fathers, maybe you're guilty of that. Maybe you need to get it right this morning. Ladies, maybe you've been guilty of it. Maybe you need to get it right. Children, maybe you've been guilty of it. You need to get it right. Maybe you've had some misplaced aggression, some wrongful aggravation. You're mad at one of your friends. You can't go off on your friends. You go off on your mom. Go off on your dad. Go off on your sister. Go off on your brother, because you know they're here. They can't do anything. They can't go anywhere. So you take it out on them. But your friends out there will maybe leave you. Maybe talk about you. So you bring it home. You know, it applies to all of us. All of us at one time or another have had misplaced aggression, wrongful aggravation, ready to do something we know is not right. If it's not by the grace of God, he stopped us. But you know what? You don't even need to go that far. How about just praying for those that despitefully use you? How about recompense no man evil for evil, whatever that which is good? How about doing that which is right? You know, this morning, I don't know who you are and where you're at, but if you are guilty of these things, I would say confess it to God. Get it right with those in whom you've been aggressive towards and those that you've wronged. I would say ask God to give you the mercy and the grace to deal with it in a timely fashion. Ask him to forgive your sin and heal your heart. Was David hurting here? I'm sure he was hurting because he didn't do anything to King Saul, but yet still King Saul was after him. So I'm sure David's heart was hurting. And you may be hurting today. Maybe you haven't done anything to somebody out there, but they're persecuting you, but you in turn take that same persecution and you take it out on somebody else. Maybe today you need to get that right and focus on God. You say, God, you know what? You were mistreated more than I ever could think about. And Lord, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, help me to be the same way. Forgive them. And not have misplaced aggression, not have wrongful aggression. But Lord, help me to do right and be reasonable to cooperation with you and your word. Help me to be quick to stop this provocation that I'm provoked to do against them. Help me to stop it and be like David in turn, humble myself under your mighty hand. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you can't do that unless you're saved. And today, God may want to save you. The Bible is clear. Except a man be born again and cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you're misplacing your aggression and got wrongful aggravation because you've got so much bottled up sin and so much guilt and so much anger against the world, against a person, against a situation. But you know what? God's got anger built up against your sin. And he placed it on the cross in Jesus Christ. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God's wrath and God's judgment and God's punishment was placed all on Jesus Christ on the cross. He was crucified for you. He was buried for you, risen again the third day for you. And perhaps today you need to be saved and you need to take God up on that. Or one day you will have to pay for your own sin. And that's not God's plan either. Today on this Father's Day, I don't know where you're at, but the measure of a man is not based in his possessions or his prosperity. It's based upon his position with God. Are you saved today? And if you're saved today, be careful. You may get like David and sometimes go down the wrong path. Be able to get someone to talk to you and come back on the path and get right with God. That wrongful aggression, that misplaced aggression, get rid of it and bring everything back in line with Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, work in my heart. Whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl today, you need to be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest today, you know what, preacher, you know, I've had my share of being Nabal, and I'm so glad that I'm not Nabal anymore, and I can give testimony to God that he's worked in my heart. I may slip up every now and again, but my character every time is not Nabal. I'm so glad, and I praise God. You'd raise your hand and say, I praise God that I'm not a Nabal anymore, amen. I lived on that street for a time, amen. Men, women, boys, and girls, all alike, amen. I can praise God that I'm not like Nabal. Praise God, hallelujah. Hands going up all over the place, as well they should, because we've all been there before. You may put them down. I mean, we say, well, preacher, I'm like David, you know, I'm saved. I act saintly most of the time, but there have been times when that straw broke that camel's back, and I just went off. And I praise God that God sent someone to help me to get right back on track. And I praise God for that person. You raise your hand. I praise God. I used to be that way. Well, I was ready to go off, but God helped me. God helped me, and he sent someone to help me out. You'd raise your hand. I praise God that God sent someone. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place again. You may put them down. If we're honest, all of us have been there before. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Somebody may do the same thing against you tomorrow. Somebody may do the same thing against you tonight. You know, you may not get that call on Father's Day that you thought you'd get. You may not get that deal you thought you'd get for Father's Day. You may not get something that you thought you were going to get. And will that be the straw that broke the camel's back? And when you have some wrongful aggravation and some misplaced aggression, when you don't get that phone call, when you don't get that meal, when you don't get whatever it is, well, things turn wrong and you'd be like David and ready to just wipe everybody out. If you're not saintly, if you're not godly, if you're not spiritual, it's easy to happen. When you lose your focus on Jesus Christ, it's easy to happen. Oh, maybe you need to pray today. God, when that person comes tomorrow to my job, when that evil person comes like Nabal, who's churlish, who's evil and wicked, when they're blockheaded and boneheaded, when they do things that they ought not do, God, help me to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. God, help me not take matters in my own hand like David almost did and get in trouble. God, help me tomorrow when I go to work, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a coworker. Help me not to have misplaced aggression against my family. God, help me. Maybe you raise your hand saying, God, help me. Preacher, pray for me that God would help me to be the way I need to be when I go to work, when I come home to my family. Pray for me. Amen. I see hands. Amen. 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 You may put them down. And lastly, maybe today you're not saved. And you say, you know what? I'm not saved here today. And if I died right now, my sins, I'm afraid that I wouldn't go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Preacher, would you pray for me today? I'm not absolutely 100% sure I'm going to heaven. And let me help you out. It's not based upon how good a person you are or how bad a person you are. It's not based upon joining this church or getting baptized. It's not based upon any other thing than repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you hear in this auditorium, man, woman, boy, or girl, you say, preacher, I've never come to the point and place where I've been born again. I'm concerned about going to heaven. I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. You'd raise your hand high so I can acknowledge you, man, woman, boy, or girl. You say, I've never prayed next to Jesus Christ to save my soul. Forgive me of my sin. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. And you raise your hand, man, woman, boy, or girl. Anyone like that at all? Amen. Father, you see the hands that have been raised of these that said they're so glad they're not Nabal consistently. And Lord, just the same amount that said they are trying to do right like David, but there's times when they lose like David and they slip. And whether it's misplaced aggression or wrongful aggravation against a family member, a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, someone that ought not be, maybe in church, Lord, they want your strength. They want your Holy Spirit's power. They want to be meek and a quiet spirit. They want to have that godliness. They want to have the fruit of the Spirit that will enable them to have that temperance, that control, that balance. And God, help us that when we are wrong, like David was, not to do evil for evil, but help us to overcome evil with good, like you did, Lord Jesus, when it came to our sin. Bless now this invitation. Lord, you know every heart, every mind, every person here. You know their needs this morning, Lord, and minister to that need of that man, woman, boy, or girl today on this Father's Day. Let none leave here with undone business in their own hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the music begins to play and Brother Wilbur begins to sing, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe there's an Abel in your life that you need to pray for this morning. Maybe there's an Abigail in your life you need to pray for and thank God for her. Maybe there's a David in your life that most of the time they do right, but every now and again they seem to slip. Maybe you pray for that David in your life. Or maybe there's a need in your life today. You've not been born again, and you need to be saved today. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues or anything of that nature. I'm talking about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's man, woman, boy, and girl alike. The Bible also says that the wages of those same sins that you and I possess is death in a place called hell. But also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His death, his burial, his resurrection, the gospel was able to save you. And friend, if you've never turned to Jesus Christ, never asked him to save you from that place called hell. I'm not talking about saving you from a situation. I'm not talking about saving you from circumstances. I'm saying saving you from some person. Not from being a good person or a bad person, but saving you from going to hell. And friend, you need to be saved today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, whoever you are, God loves you. God wants to save you. What better day to do it than a day like this? Father's Day. Father's Day. All of us have needs. All of us can be tempted to go and be pushed as far as David was pushed, even though he was a saintly man. Even though he was a spiritual man, even though he was a soft-spoken man, he was pushed. You know, all of us in the flesh can get pushed at times. But David had the right spirit. He listened to reason. He was open to cooperation. And he righteously turned not to shed any sin of blood. How about it today? Where are you at today? Pray for that Nabal in your life. Pray for that Abigail in your life. Pray for that David in your life. Maybe stop being that Nabal. Maybe start being that David. Maybe brush up on that Abigail. I surrender all. Father, thank you once again for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for this obscure passage that we find in David's life when David truly is a man after your own heart, Lord, and consistently did that which was right. Lord, here we find David on the verge of making a horrible mistake. Lord, I know many of us can say, you know, I've been on the verge of making some horrible mistakes, but God sent a messenger my way to help me to turn from my misplaced aggression, to help me to turn from my wrongful aggravation, allowed me to be open to some reasonable cooperation, allowed me to repent from that provocation that I had planned on doing. And as a result, I'm blessed that I listened, and I'm blessed that God sent a messenger. David was able to say, he praised God for Abigail. Oh, Lord, thank you for the Abigails in my life. Thank you for those messengers in my life that have averted danger in my life, making a wrong decision. Lord, help us as fathers to embrace this passage and recognize that in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit of God, we can do right. Lord, you often send messengers our way. David later on would be visited by another messenger by the name of Nathan. And Nathan the prophet would tell him the same things again. And David would again turn. And God, help us to be that type of a man that would turn when we're confronted with that which we've done wrong. And what would be utilized for your honor and for your glory on this Father's Day. The Lord is not just limited to fathers, mothers, and children alike. Need to be careful of living a life of wrongful aggravation and misplaced aggression. Oh God, help us today to have that spirit of forgiveness, that spirit of meekness, and that spirit of compassion that only you can give us through the Spirit's power. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord, and continue to bless this Father's Day. Help us to go forth, remembering what we heard today, being fathers that would glorify thee and everything that we think, say, and do. And praise God for the wives that we have and the children that we have as well. And not misplace our aggression or wrongfully aggravate either. In Jesus' name.